By the way, Gator, on X, formerly known as Twitter, I'll always still call it Twitter.
That's what it is.
Max Clark has tweeted out, 6-hour road trip to Erie, time for another Q&A. So people were asking him some interesting questions. And the one I found the most fascinating was they asked him basically, what would you do if you weren't playing baseball? He said he was going to go to law school and special in cybersecurity.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, of course, I had to throw a question out there. Because
of course you did.
Yeah. And he's from Indiana, so it's... And he didn't answer it. Mellencamp or Springsteen? That was my question for him.
Well, from Indiana,
I imagine it would have been.
Well, but even him, but he's too young to really...
Well, but I mean, his parents, I mean, listen to the radio, or they might have it. I don't know.
Axl Rose is from Indiana.
Well, somebody asked, what's the most overrated skill or tool scouts and pundits talk about, and the most underrated? He says, I don't know if there's really an overrated. I think the most underrated is baseball IQ or the ability to understand swing / throwing mechanics and analytics. Interesting.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to
read some of that
his
stuff.
Minor league season. Now that he's at AA, he's risen up quickly through the ranks, and he joins his teammates from West Michigan, now moving on to Erie with Kevin McGonigal.
His pick for the home run derby by today
and Jose Bresenio
is James Wood.
Yeah, well, I could see that. Tough to go against Cal Raleigh with the home run derby tonight.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up Cal Raleigh because I was there Friday night. And if I didn't know any better, because there is testing, I mean, his home run, not the grand slam, the other one, looked like he just like flicked the bat with like one. I mean, it's like I couldn't believe he got the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, it was such an easy, carefree, wasn't even a power swing. He's unbelievable.
You barrel it up and you let the pitcher do the work, throwing the velocity in there, and that's you hit that. I mean, I've always marveled at like the tale of two iconic home runs by the same guy, and Kirk Gibson. The home run that he hit off of Goose Gossage in 84 in the World Series that Tiger fans remember so wonderfully, as we should. I mean, got all of it, right? It was this beautiful golf swing, swamp, there it goes, gone. Just destroyed it. The home run he hit for the Dodgers in the 88 World Series in game one that won it in the extra innings. For that swing to result in a home run is one of the life's great mysteries to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did, but it's like a similar thing where he just kind of leaned out over and
he tried had no to throw legs.
He had nothing. And somehow muscled it over the wall in right field for that iconic game-winning home run. I never know what to expect with baseball. It's just contact is contact, man. And sometimes you get great contact out of it, and he did, without question. Now he's got two of the most iconic home runs in baseball history. Ben is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Ben.
Ben. You.
You, Ben.
Ben is gone.
Which
is a good...
Yeah, because I didn't want to deal with what Ben was going to ask.
So I know.
We won't have to worry about that. Speaking of which, actually we'll get that at 1:18. I wanted to get to the rumor that you're tired of hearing about, but it's not a baseball rumor. We'll get to that, like I said, at 1:18. But you mentioned before that you think this weekend could have been a blessing in disguise.
Yes,
for the Detroit Tigers. Well, elaborate on that, please.
Well, first of all, for their fan base that was convinced that they were good enough to win it all without doing anything, and there were. Not everybody felt that way, but there are a good proportion of the fan base did. I think it's a blessing in disguise because now you can wake up. And I'm not one of those who thinks that Scott Harris and company believe that they were good enough to do that too. But maybe it's a blessing in disguise where, all right, we got to address this quicker than I might have wanted to, which is mean wait till the deadline and then make moves. Maybe do it like tomorrow. Try to start making some trades because you want to get this done before somebody else might get the closer or the reliever that you want. And if you have to pay a little more, fine.
I think what other teams might focus on more than what the Tigers have focused on is the definition of the word closer. Because AJ Hinch doesn't like the word, I think it helps the Tigers because they don't have to be locked into got to get the closer from Team X. Mm-hmm. What the Tigers are going to look to do is to get the guy who can get swings and misses from Team X. And I think that's probably more important because they don't, you know, the way they look at the end of game situation, it's about matchups always when it comes to the pitching staff. And they want to match up their best back end arm against the best that he'll have to face. And if that means it's the eighth inning and you bring out your quote unquote closer to pitch the eighth and somebody else pitches the ninth, that's what he's going to do. So other teams might focus on got to have the closer from, you know, whatever. They'll say it's Emmanuel Clase. They got to have Clase. He's a closer. They got to get him. Okay. You can focus on that. But what the Tigers would rather have is the guy that isn't defined what he is. He just gets guys out because he gets the swing and miss.
Right.
And maybe that works to their benefit as well.
That's what they need more. They need relievers who can strike guys out. And you're sitting there saying, well, as long as they get guys out, they don't have to be. No, they need. There are times where you got to have a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Because a ground ball out sometimes leads to a run if the guy's on third base.
Which is why it was intoxicating for them to go ahead and take this chance on Hernandez, because he can get the swing and miss because he's got this 100-mile-an-hour fastball. The problem with it is that he still hasn't been able to control it, let alone command it. Control is finding the strike zone. Command is working the strike zone. And he does not have command, nor does he have control. So that's the problem with Hernandez. But it's enticing because you see the talent, without question. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Got some more ticket text coming in. Regarding the player Michael Oliveto, the second pick from the Tigers, 34th overall, 18-year-old kid from Long Island, who had a chance to go to Yale, still has a chance to go to Yale here, but I'm guessing he's going to take the offer from the Tigers to play to start his minor league baseball career. And I said I thought this would be a dilemma if you're a parent, if you've got a kid that has the opportunity to use his talent to get a degree from Yale, that maybe you'd rather see the kid use that as opposed to just go ahead and try his hand at achieving the dream of playing Major League Baseball by starting off in the minors. And part of my reasoning was go to Yale, and after 3 years, you get drafted again. And you'll be just a year away from getting your degree, for the most part. Not everybody will do it in 4 years, but that you can be on your way to getting that degree. And you might even improve yourself, your draft standing, because maybe you've had a heck of a year or two at Yale, and now you're a top 10 pick instead of being the 34th pick overall. So got some ticket text on that, saying he can always go back to Yale if he flames out in baseball. I don't believe the Ivy League has athletic scholarships. They don't. They offer grants, and there are ways to finagle around without having an athletic scholarship. But does he get to go back to Yale if he's not going to be there to play baseball? Is he going to Yale?
Maybe.
Don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know what his scores are in ACT and all that stuff. But, you know, Yale is pretty exclusive. And if he's got an opportunity to get there because of baseball, hard to pass that up to play minor league baseball is my point.
Maybe he'll do the inverse of Danny Wolf. He'll go to Michigan and then he'll go to Yale.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Slot value for the Oliveto pick is $2.8 million. He's not worried about tuition when and if baseball career ends. Because you cut that in half, and that's how much money he would have left over, and that would clearly be enough to pay for his school no matter where he goes.
Right.
But my point is, I don't know if he's going to be able to go to Yale if he doesn't go there now.
Well, unless you're going to be, specialized in something that they only have at Yale, is it really that big of a difference besides the prestige?
Yes, I think there's a big difference with getting a degree from Yale as opposed to getting a degree from, you know, no offense necessary here, Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, but there are still Vanderbilt, Northwestern. There are other good, really good schools.
Yes, there are.
That aren't Ivy League schools.
Yes, but if the only reason you're getting into those schools is because you can pitch, and you're going to try to go in afterwards. If I get drafted as an 18-year-old, I've got an offer to go to Yale, and I turn that down because I'm going to go play minor league baseball. And then I realize after 4 years, this baseball thing is going to work out. Now I want to go back to school. Are you going to be able to go back to Yale?
Maybe.
Because it all depends if you've got the test scores as a high schooler to get yourself in
right
there. if the only reason you got in there in the first place is because you're athletically gifted, that's my point, is hard to pass that up. Because 4 years down the line, if you don't have the academic wherewithal, those skills to get in, and now those doors are closed to you, yes, I think it makes a difference. The prestige of the school would have made a difference. Because if you're an average student, but you get to go to Yale because of baseball, and then you graduate with a Yale degree, it means a heck of a lot more.
That's true.
That, I guess, is my point. I go with the minor league route over Yale just because the opportunity for you to always go back to school and play baseball after a few years, if the minors don't work out, is always there.
I don't know if you can go back to school. You can't go back to school and play.
No, because he'll always be smart. Well, I don't know if he's, again, I have no idea how smart the kid is or not. If he would have gotten into Yale if he didn't play baseball, I don't know. However, the opportunity to go to the majors will not be there after a few years at Yale. Just like how NFL players leave school and can always go back to get their degrees later. That's Tim in Farmington Hills. Different from that standpoint, starting off at a school, get drafted into the NFL, and if you haven't graduated, and then you can go back, you can always do that in football. The other way around, not so much. It doesn't seem to work out that way. The opportunity to go up to the majors may not be there after a few years at Yale. It may not be, but I think it probably is. If you're drafted 34th overall and you decide to bypass the draft and go back to college and go to college, and then you're there for 3 years and you're draft eligible again, if you are good enough if you're talented enough, wouldn't you expect you to have a chance to actually to improve your draft standing?
You would think.
You'd be drafted again. Now, you're taking a chance. Are you going to be better than 34th?
Yeah.
Don't know. You might. You may not be. But if you're not, if you're still drafted, then you got it. You're three quarters of the way there with your degree.
You know who played baseball at Yale? Ron Darling. And I believe the current general manager of the Red Sox, Craig Breslow.
George W. Bush, wasn't he there?
Yeah, but I'm talking about major leagues.
Sorry, George Herbert Walker Bush, not yes. George W. Bush.
He was a first baseman.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Stoney is tired of this player and rumors, and see if you agree or disagree. We'll talk about it next year. 97.1 The Ticket. Kang really dashed your hopes there. I got excited too, Stoney. Yeah. I'm going to admit, I was looking it up during the break. And
I know.
And nonetheless, Kang was just playing the fool.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the fool.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
I mean, look, Max Clark is answering questions on Twitter, and you know, everybody's submitting their questions, and he's replying right away, and Stoney submitted a question. And the question was, because he's from Indiana, you said Mellencamp or Springsteen.
Yeah, I'm sure his answer would be Mellencamp.
Even though Springsteen has nothing to do with Indiana.
No.
But everything to do with you.
Right.
It's I can't believe it. I mean, that's the part to me that's the funny part, is that you went with one person from Indiana and John Mellencamp, and one person not from Indiana, which is Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And then Kang said during the break, hey, Max Clark replied to you. And Stoney got, Kang, you should have seen it.
Oh.
He was so excited.
I wish I could see you guys.
The validation, yeah, right. We wish we could see you too. The validation, the anticipation of the validation in Stoney's eyes was incredible. And then he couldn't find it. He's like, I can't find it. And I start looking. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I got to be able to find this. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't see it either. I see Stoney's tweet question, but no reply. And then Stoney lets you know that he can't see it, and then you reveal the awful truth.
That, of course, not. He wouldn't answer that question. Yes. He's 12 years old. So we got a ticket text, though, Stoney.
Yeah.
Follow-up for Stoney is, would he ask Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra to Max Clark? I don't know. Maybe he'll answer that one. Maybe
we'll
try that one.
I might ask for like a Christmas song, you know, Bing Crosby or Mariah Carey.
No.
But I'm not going to. I'm done asking him questions.
Yeah, if he won't answer that question, stop talking to him.
Kang, why don't you text him and say, give him the phone number and see if I'll call
Maybe I'll ask him, like, you know, Kendrick Lamar or Drake.
Oh, yeah, but have him, tell him to call in.
To call in? All
right. Yeah, why not? It's worked for you before on something, right?
Yeah, That's true. It's true. Yeah. All right. Where are they traveling to again, Stoney?
He's going back to Erie.
Back to Erie
from Grand Rapids.
Is that where he's going?
Well, he was in Atlanta for the Futures, flew to GR, and now is driving to Erie.
Yeah. You could say Michael Jackson or John Cougar Mellencamp would be a better because they're both from Indiana.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
In Stoney's defense, he did say drop anything. So you went with anything.
Yeah, he was dropping something. Yeah. Yep, without question. I got some ticket texts coming in regarding the crazy talent that you have. We mentioned that Oliveto is a guy that the Tigers draft pick at 34. He can solve a Rubik's Cube in like 20 seconds or whatever it is, which is kind of crazy. I can throw playing cards extremely fast. I was able to throw an Uno card into a piece of drywall, and I've been able to draw blood with a debit card. The last one was an accident, Tyrus and Troy.
Oh.
That is impressive. Gator special talent is his Jim Leland impersonation. Thank you. But I like to look at the motor skill stuff more than just being able to mumble.
Can't trade that space practice. We got good race talk training. Yeah, I have to improve. I didn't learn attention. Yeah, I just forgot the rule book.
I've always been a huge movie buff. I have a massive physical media collection of movies. I can quote any movie that I've seen and that I like word for word. It drives my wife crazy, but impresses my friends all the time, especially with comedy movies. That's Marlon Walt Lake. Yeah, people that can quote movies, yeah. And then you go back and you realize that you didn't get a quote quite right.
I know.
Happens all the time. My friends, I used to call that caddyshacking a line. Because everybody would quote Caddyshack, and then you'd find out, well, that's not exactly the quote.
Exactly,
and
then
we'd say,
hey,
you totally shacked that line, is what we would say.
Yeah.
Guys, my 16-year-old Earl solves the cube in 29 seconds. It's all algorithms. The speed is only limited by hands, physical speed, and dexterity. That's from Rob. So I'm saying it's a formula that you can, right two, left one, up, down, whatever, all that thing, right? I just not good at that stuff. I can name just about any band from only hearing a few seconds of a song. I'm very good with 80s hair metal and classic rock.
Ooh.
That's some Cord and Alpina.
I'd love to have Cord go at it with Gator.
I'm pretty good at 80s hair metal.
I know. That's sweet,
I'm pretty good at classic rock. Nowhere near as good as I am with 80s hair metal, but pretty good. Just saying. Not going to argue with that. All right, something else you had brought up.
Yeah,
this morning, something you wanted to talk about, and it's something that's getting bigger as time goes on, and I thought that something that was similar to this, but this is just something that you're tired of hearing about, and I'm not sure why you're tired of hearing about it when it seems like this is something that might happen, not necessarily for our team, but this might actually happen.
Yeah. And it's the TJ Watt stuff. Maybe because I fell for, we might have a chance at, Myles Garrett. Or we might have a chance, and I knew we wouldn't get any, or Max Crosby. I realized that wasn't going to happen. Now, the TJ Watt thing, because there's some animosity going on, here's the deal. I don't want to hear another thing about TJ Watt until he either re-signs with shows up in Pittsburgh or is traded. Because I don't want to be teased again and again. And I don't think this fan base or any fan base should be teased again and again. Just let it happen if it's going to happen. And I still don't think it's going to happen.
I find it wild that...
And the fact that his trade value appears to be just a second round pick is mind-boggling to me.
Well, is he 30?
He could be 38.
I'm just saying, but this is how.
Pick.
But you know how this works.
When
you got a guy going into the end of a contract, and teams know they're not going to get somebody over the barrel on this. if a guy wants out because he wants a brand new contract, and that contract could be a record-setting contract, there are very few teams that are going to be entertaining that. That can actually entertain it. And I hear you. You get frustrated hearing constantly because of Max Crosby last year. Got to get Max Crosby.
Right.
And then Max Crosby, by the way, suffered a season-ending injury too that nobody likes to talk about. The Myles Garrett stuff, and then all of a sudden he goes back to where he was. Trey Hendrickson is one that will not die.
Right.
Still doesn't die. In fact, I saw a story over the weekend from Yahoo about it, where it quoted Jeremy Fowler from ESPN saying that the talks have resumed with the Bengals after the team wrapped up minicamp back in June. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network said that Hendrickson is not looking to reset the edge rusher market on an extension, but his demand could change. And then all signs pointed to, hey, you know, the Lions should offer a 2026 second round pick or and more to go all in an attempt to make a deep playoff run. Which, as radio hosts, we hear this every single day, and we're like,
right.
We get tired of talking about it because, yes, you can, but what nobody wants to write in any of these articles about these guys, nobody wants to write how much it would cost in real terms, not just the, oh, well, let's throw a couple draft picks that way and magically it's here.
Well, evidently.
It's not that. It's you have to give them an right. extension.
And evidently the Steelers don't want to guarantee money at his age. He's 30 years old. And he's coming off a season where he was not great late in the season. And I get that.
He's also playing on a team that's kind of quit from the organizational standpoint. And they're punting. And they're
what are you talking about?
Quit? They're going to reboot with Aaron Rodgers?
They haven't quit. They're all in, baby. They got Aaron Rodgers. They got DK Metcalf. They're all
this
in.
Would be great if this were 5 years ago.
I know. I'm being facetious.
That's my point. This is ridiculous. So I can see why he'd want to get out of Dodge because he's still like, I want to, if you're TJ Watt, like, I want to play and I want to win a damn Super Bowl. I'm not going to do it here playing with these guys.
My point is I just don't want to hear another word about it until something happens. That's all. I'm just sick of it.
Do you want to hear that the Lions are involved?
No, just tell me that it's done.
You don't even want to go through that.
No, I don't want to go through that. Because then I'll find out that they Lions only offered a third and they could have got him for a second and I'll lose my mind.
I would lose my mind too if that ends up happening.
Yeah.
But that's not what's gonna crush any idea of a trade like that happening or Trey Hendricks from happening.
Yeah.
It's the extension you have to sign the player to make it happen. They're not going to sign, the Lions aren't going to sign one of these guys to a 4-year, you know, $150 million deal with lots of guaranteed money while they still have to sign their own guy who's 7 years younger and give him the money. They can make, I've always said this, I think they can do it for a couple of years and then you've got real hurt. Because then you got to go down the line and realize, oh, that just cost us Sam Laporta. That just cost us Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, now what? Well, great, we've got bookend defensive tackles, but we just lost a couple of massive pieces to the offense because we gave these guys the contracts. And yeah, that's what people don't look at. They don't realize.
Right. Well, every team has to go through that.
In the meantime, if I can do this now and keep these guys together for 2 years.
And maybe win the Super Bowl so you don't have to worry about anything else.
Yes, then you could probably win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is why people want to go for it.
Yes.
248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. Welcome back to the Carson Anderson Program. Gator and Stoney with you today. Taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. I got some ticket texts here, Stoney. People want to help you out with Max Clark. And maybe some other questions you can ask Max Clark.
Okay.
Hey, Max, Judy Garland or Betty White? You prefer Liza Minnelli? You want to make it a little younger? Hip it up that way? Stoney, ask him how he feels about prohibition and women's rights to vote. Hey, Stoney, Lucille Ball or Phyllis Diller? Stoney asked Max Clark, John Cougar Mellencamp or Bruce Springsteen? Max Clark is like 20. I know. 20 years old.
Yeah. But maybe, like, my kids grew up with hearing Springsteen in the car and on in the house, like, occasionally.
Occasionally.
And, you know, one of them really likes him. Maybe his, because he's from Indiana, maybe his parents played a lot of Mellencamp.
Right, but the funny part is that then he threw it in there and against Springsteen, which has nothing to do with it. But that's just the stony part, which is why you're stony.
Yeah.
So wait, so one daughter likes Bruce and the other one does not?
No, they both like him. They've gone to some shows, yeah. It's weird. One of them really liked them early on and then they switched. So I don't know.
Things changed up.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Understandable. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We talked a lot of Tigers today. We'll continue to talk some Tigers. And why? Well, because it's the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Got the home run derby going tonight.
Do you have any idea? Is McAfee going to be the new Chris Berman? I know he's somehow involved in this.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe he's going to just do introductions. I don't know.
I don't know. Don't know if I really care about that part of it. Once the derby starts, I'm just there to watch the bombs. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the commentary. I've never really cared about the commentary on it. I just want to see how far they can hit it. I'm curious how high the exit velocity gets up to. Are we going to see exit velocity beyond 120 miles an hour? That would be something if you see that. Are these guys going to be they always crush it, right? It's always crushed. How is it going to look with that backdrop at that stadium? Is it going to look good? What's the weather like tonight? All types of questions about it.
Are we going to have 100 little kids in the outfield?
Right. Is one of them going to go off, with holding his head and then have to be, escorted away because he got hit? You guys asked me that last week. How do I feel about having all the kids in the outfield?
Yeah.
I don't feel good about it. And it's for their safety. That ball, when it's not a home run, you've got a ball that is a line shot at 115 miles an hour, and it's just seeking a target. I don't like the idea.
Seeking missile.
I mean, the kids out there, I think they're into it for the first few minutes, and then they become kids, and their minds start to wander, and they're like, they're no longer enamored with the idea that you're there on an actual stadium and seeing the outfield for the first time and being out there. I think that after a while, they just forget all that, and then they go back to, talking to each other or picking their nose or whatever it is that the little kids do, mm-hmm. and then next thing you know, one gets picked off by a line drive, off the bat of Cal Raleigh, and then we got trouble.
Hey, by the way, Gator, the NHL has announced that their schedule release will be Wednesday during your show at 1 o'clock on Wednesday.
Oh, so is this where we do the 82 game schedule? We go ahead game and by pick game, game by
go,
game.
You're going to go game by game. There is a opening night triple header. Tuesday, October 7th, that has been announced.
Okay.
5 o'clock start.
Oh, 5 o'clock start.
The defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers will be hosting the Chicago Blackhawks. Then at 8 o'clock, the New York Rangers will be hosting Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Assuming Sid the Kid is still there.
Right, which is going to be great because Penguins, former Penguins coach Mike Sullivan is now the head coach of the New York Rangers. So I understand why they did that. And at 10:30, if you can stay up, it'll be Ken Holland's LA Kings hosting the Colorado Avalanche.
Interesting. Not
Connor Canadian
McDavid.
Teams.
Not Connor McDavid.
No Canadian teams.
I would have thought that, how about you could go Avs and Oilers would be kind of fun to see start the season.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you'd want to help promote the best players in the game to start the season rather than the LA Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against the LA Kings. It's a really good hockey team. But if I have the chance to make a schedule, I'm going to go and say, I can cherry pick anything. Great. Let's go Avs, Oilers, Nathan McKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid. Throw Cole Makar, throw them all out there.
Or you know what else I would do?
Cale Makar.
I'd have the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Las Vegas Golden Knights with Mitch Marner.
That'd be saucy.
That would be my game.
That would be saucy. Do that. Let's have fun with that. Instead, yes. No. Pittsburgh and Chicago? I'm sorry, was it Pittsburgh and the Rangers?
Pittsburgh and the Rangers, Chicago and Florida. And
nobody cares that the coach is going over to another team. Nobody cares about that. And the Rangers are boring anyway. And then to get Pittsburgh, an aging Pittsburgh team, you hang another year on Sid the Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, again, okay, it might be his last year in the NHL, maybe. But, he had plenty of time to go through the pomp and circumstance of a Hall of Fame career. Do I need to have the first game of the season with him?
Yeah. I hope the Wings, if they open at home, it's against somebody decent. Just, I don't know. I don't want to see.
You don't want what?
I don't want to see the Utah Mammoth opening night. Nice name. I just don't want to see them opening night.
I just like to see a win opening night for the Red Wings. That's what I'd like to see, without question. Mm-hmm. With the Tigers, we talked very briefly about this, so we need to address this a little bit more. Do the Tigers have a Parker Meadows problem? Now, he has struggled this year, without question. He last year, when he came back from his quick injury stint after spending time in a minor, started the season, hit less than 200. I think he hit like less than 100, actually, and then went to the minors, got his swing back, came back, got hurt right away, but then came back again and hit basically 300, passed over 300 for the Tigers the rest of the way. Hit with power, played a flawless center field, added speed on the base pass. There's a lot of reason to get excited about Parker Meadows. Get to spring training, and then he has this nerve issue, and it sets him back. Misses all of spring training, misses the first couple weeks.
That band's rehearsing.
Practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He was working on some things in the minors to get healthy again. Finally does. Played enough games down there where they thought, let's bring him up. And he has been slow to get going. Looked like he had it going for a few games, and then no, not so much. Hit less than 200 in June. He's hit just over 200 in July. Add it all together, and it's still below 200 for the season. And then you add in over the weekend, then he had in over the weekend a couple of really, really uncharacteristic plays for him in the field. For a guy who I've always touted as being one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball, he went all out for a ball he should not have.
Tried to make a hero play.
And the ball got past him, and it really, if it was anybody else in baseball, probably 90% of the people in baseball would have been an inside the park home run.
Right.
It was not in this case. And then they had the play in yesterday's game, late in the game, it was halfway through the game, it was in the fifth inning, when Jack Flaherty was working quickly, trying to get out of it, and fly ball to left center field, and both he and Riley Green start charging in on it, and Riley Green defers, fine, you're center field, you can have it, and he just let it drop, because he thought that Riley Green was going to get it. Miscommunication.
Parker Meadows needs a little Toledo love.
He might need some Toledo love.
He does.
And I'm not against it. And at this point, you know, the Tigers do have an opportunity this is where your roster helps you out. Your roster flexibility helps you out. You've got a number of guys that can go and play. Obviously, Javi Baez played center field while Parker Meadows was out in the first place.
Yep.
And played it to the level where he's now the starting center fielder in the All-Star game for tomorrow night for the American League. He can go out to center field. McKinstry can go out to short, or Trey Sweeney, some kind of combination thereof, whatever you want to do. Let Parker Meadows work on things. In the meantime, if you want to bring up somebody, you can bring back up Justin Henry Molloy, who's hitting awfully well at Toledo, and just to have another bat in the lineup, a platoon bat for whatever you need to do. Not to necessarily play the outfield, but because the replacement's already there in-house. So you're just bringing up the best bat you can, or bring up another bullpen arm, you know, if you need to add to that, if you haven't maxed out the number of pitchers you have. But they do, I agree with you. I think they do have a Parker Meadows problem.
Yeah, and maybe it's just mental right now. He's going through something, and he just can't. It's a confidence issue. Maybe that's it. Maybe the break will be good for him. You know, see how he does down in Texas. And then if he continues after this series, if they don't do it sooner, you have to send him to Toledo.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Same number to text. Do you think the Tigers have a Parker Meadows problem? And is it easily solved in-house? We'll discuss that next with you here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, is your garage door completely tanked on you? I mean, it's just not working right at all, and you don't know what to do? Let me help you out. Call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door Service today, because they are the experts when it comes to garage doors. They can help you out. They have the expert technicians that come out, diagnose the problem, and fix the problem right away. And if it comes to the part where you need actually a new door altogether, they've got a warehouse that is chock full of brand new garage doors waiting to be installed. So in some cases, they can install a brand new garage door in 24 hours. That's right. They can get it done really quickly for you. I know this firsthand. A couple years ago, they actually came out and redid my garage doors at the house. Could not have been happier. They walked me through the entire process, showed me all of the options that I had, and I chose the doors that were perfect for me and perfect for my house, and I could not be happier. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can schedule an appointment online at precisiondoormi.com. Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and Stoney with you today. Taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Talking a lot of Tigers today. They're still doing some drafting on day two. Not a lot to tell you about what's going on. These are, you know, 4th through 20th round draft picks that nobody's going to know a whole lot about. We'll give you some information on that perhaps on tomorrow's show, but this isn't anybody we're going to see anytime soon. They drafted some pitchers, high school pitchers, some college arms. Yesterday, they went with a couple of high school kids early with the first couple of picks. One a shortstop, the other a catcher. And then they went and got a couple of pitchers, I guess, later on in the second and third rounds. Interesting collection of talent. Who knows how good they really are until we see them in the minor leagues. And then you'll say the same thing. Well, who knows how they really are until they get to the major league level. And at the major league level right now, though, the Tigers have a dilemma. I'm curious to see if they see it as a dilemma, Stoney, the way that we are with Parker Meadows and what's happened with him. Because he has not been the player that we saw at the end of last year that was, wow, boy, was I excited about this guy. Hitting for average, hitting for power, playing great defense, running the bases. He was, you know, in a lot of ways, the perfect prospect. And yet this year has been a disaster for him, both with spring training, with the nerve issue, and how he has started the season just off to an incredibly slow start.
He's been awful. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, 36 strikeouts. I mean, 193 batting average, his 2 home runs. And like you said, you know, yes, this weekend was not good for him fielding, which is basically his calling card, that and his speed.
Yeah, his 545 OPS, that's on-base percentage plus slugging percentage. I mean, that's it's like 180 points below league average. It's not good. League average is around 715. Mm-hmm. It's not good. He has hit the ball hard more than just on occasion. Unfortunately, he's got some bad luck to it, right at guys in the infield on line drives, or they've been hard hit ground balls to people in the infield, or it's just been, you know, registered as an out in the outfield. In the end, they're all outs. I suppose the hard hit rate, I don't even know if the rate is all that good, but that's something that the Tigers brass can say, okay, this is something we could look at as a positive, but you have to do more of it. And you've got to do less of the swinging and missing, or less of the taking of just called strikes. Cause you mentioned that strikeout rate of, you know, 30% or whatever it is, that's awfully high. And for a team that has an issue with striking out already, that's not what they need. You don't need to add to that with a guy that's not hitting well.
Right.
You know, you got to find ways to get on base. And to this point, you know, his walk rate is only 10%. So that's not good.
I do want to mention, I was there on Friday night, and I know people that were there over the weekend as well. The crowds were they were sick. It was loud for the. It was like a playoff atmosphere. It really was.
Was over 41,000 on Friday night.
Yes,
and then 36,000 each of the next two nights. It was a huge weekend.
And a lot of them for Friday night. Scoobal obviously pitched, but that he was originally supposed to pitch on Saturday. A lot of people did stay. I didn't, for the Jordan Davis concert. that took place like 45 minutes after the game. So big night, and they just basically laid an egg on all weekend. It was, you know, a weekend that's celebrating the 25th anniversary of Comerica Park. They had the old PA announcer there. I forget his name. They had, you know, some of the, they brought back some of the veterans and other things, like Heather worked yesterday.
Did she?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, she did. Yeah. So
the lovely Heather.
Yes, from, that's right. They brought back a former DJ. They brought back a lot of former players and things like that.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was taking place. Yeah. They're celebrating the anniversary of the ballpark. All throughout the season, I guess, but they really kind of make it happen this weekend.
Yeah.
It would have been the 25th anniversary at the beginning of the season, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yes. I mean, I remember when the ballpark opened up on that cold, frosty morning.
Against Seattle.
Against Seattle, yeah. It was unbelievable. I remember watching a player from Seattle emerge from the dugout. This is a couple hours beforehand. To take a look at the sleet that was coming down. And I don't know what he said, but I'm guessing he said sort of expletive, like blank this, turned around, went right back into the clubhouse.
Well, before that, he looked at the scoreboard and said, boy, that's off center a little bit.
Is that where it's supposed to be?
By the way, some trouble for a former Lion I'm reading about here. Teddy Bridgewater has been suspended by the high school that he coaches at, Miami Northwestern, basically for alleged impermissible benefits provided by the program, because the kids can't afford certain stuff. So he's asked fans and other supporters to give money. I'm sure he gave money himself for some of the kids.
And they say you can't do that. It's against the rules, even though it may be for the best of all reasons.
Right.
But we don't know. Let that story play out and see what happens there. But I hate to hear stuff like that. Yeah. If that happens like that, it's like you're doing your best to help somebody out. And it's against the rules for whatever reasons. It's against the rules.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of programs have been eliminated.
What's weird is he hasn't retired officially from the NFL yet.
He's going to wait for his December call-up.
Yeah, by the Lions, yes.
And we'll see if that happens
again.
Well,
he's better than Hendon Hooker. I'm better than him in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see if that narrative continues to play. It may continue to play out.
You never know.
I hope it doesn't. I hope that we're going to get through the end of training camp and it's put to bed, because I expect we're going to see an awful lot of Hendon Hooker.
Oh, we're going to see a lot of them in that first game, in the Hall of Fame game.
I think in all the games.
Him and what's the other quarterback, Brandon Allen? Is that this guy's name?
Yes, Brandon Allen. Yeah,
Brandon.
I would imagine we're going to see an awful lot of Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
So the Lions know for sure if this is the guy that if something happens to Jared Goff, that they can go and hand him the keys and say, here's the offense, go with it. I have high hopes for him. I think he's a very talented quarterback, but we shall see if that's going to be the case. We'll know full on, I think.
By the way, I should mention, because tonight being the home run derby, maybe we should save this for tomorrow. But one of the great moments in Comerica Park history was the home run derby. And I was sitting, I think, a row in front of you where they had the media and the bleachers in right field. And basically Bobby Abreu was hitting every home run to you.
It was right in my area, yeah. I ended up with two Derby home run balls that day, one from Abreu and one from Big Poppy David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
One was funny because it bounced off it was well over our heads and bounced off the back wall by the concourse and then rolled down the steps right to me. I just kind of leaned over and picked it up. And the other one was hit on the fly, and I just didn't have to move. I stood up and had my mitt out and caught it. And yes, I brought my mitt. I'm not afraid to admit it. I didn't care. But caught two home run balls. It was nice.
You take it from a kid?
No, I did not. And boy, did I get tired of hearing that. Give it to a kid. Give it to a kid. So the first one I got and I put in my pocket. And the second one, when I caught it, and I told the guy who was with me, was a guy who was like a 21-year-old who used to work at a radio station at the time but had moved to Milwaukee and was working there and came into town for the All-Star game. He goes, you catch another one, give it to him. I'm like, sure. And I did, and I just flipped it to him right away. I'm like, here you go.
Yeah.
And I got yelled at by fans.
Just, yeah. You know what, kid?
Like, give it to a kid. I'm like, I'm going to give this one to the ball that I had. I'm like, telling you, I've got a nephew at home that would love this.
I've always wanted one of those, and yeah, I'm keeping it. Now, the one that I got, I'm like, technically, I don't think it counted, but you know what? In my world, it counted.
It was batting practice. I was there with Fox too, and it was McGuire was hitting batting practice, and he hit a foul ball, and I'm like, and that's mine.
Oh, is that when he came to town with the Cardinals? And yeah. He was kind of like a Richard to Jennifer.
Yeah.
Remember that?
So.
Yeah, he was not a very nice human being.
Yeah.
But anyway. By the way, great Trevor Francis Detroit Express reset on Friday. That was great.
Stoney, you're probably the only person that got that.
I know.
Those people, it went over everybody's head.
Like, I don't know.
You want to go Keith Furphy?
Trevor Francis scored 4 goals in 1 game.
Francis was an outstanding soccer player.
Right, like you get it. Yeah, we're in that demographic. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh my God, Trevor Francis was Detroit Rockers.
He was the Express.
Detroit Express.
They played at the Silverdome. That was the NASL.
And they rode that momentum for like 2 years.
Yeah. And then they moved to DC.
And then soccer. What's coming up on your show later today?
We got a question for David Hull and a lot of Michigan fans because he spoke out again. He crawled from under his rock, but your emotions, your feelings, whenever you see or hear anything from Connor Stallions, for Michigan fans, where does it put you? How do you feel about this guy?
I think he should just go away. I don't want to hear from him ever again because of what he did. You can argue whether it was funded or how much impact it had. He cheated. Okay? They cheated, got caught.
There you go.
The program is under, a black eye from certain people.
Oh, no, he tried to clarify and be like, well, if we cheated, we didn't really cheat. I mean, we cheated, but we didn't really cheat.
Yeah.
Well, have fun with that one today.
This is what we do.
That's coming up next year, 97 won the ticket.